You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Jesus Christ. I should have looked at your webcam before I hit go. I was not ready for that.
Yeah, I'm glad your children weren't in the room, man.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 182 of Red Wings Rant. Clearly, this will be another celebration.
Yeah, it will. Woo! Half an ounce of Malibu, baby. Yeah.
Red Wings Rant, where tirades and impassioned pleas about your Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. Mike, we get to talk about the return of D-Boss. We get to talk about the Calder Trophy is done. Voting is in. Lucas has that one in the bag.
What about Momo?
It's
Momo.
Mike, we know our NHL voters. They love their points.
You know where this came from?
Yeah.
I was at an adult man's retirement party, and they had a piñata for the grown-ups. And I didn't get the last hit, but they were swinging the piñata out of my my range. And they pulled it so wildly out of my range, the piñata broke, and all the stuff came out. And much like me, over the weekend, the Red Wings treated Vegas like a piñata and beat the crap out of them. Man, was that fun.
I'm so glad you brought that around.
Oh, we brought it back home. Don't worry. Yeah.
All right, so Tristan was keeping score. Mike,
he
did
not did.
Say loss, win-win.
Yes, I certainly did, Tristan. I'm glad you brought it up so I didn't have to, but I was waiting for that.
Yeah, I was
waiting to bring it up.
I did say loss, win, loss. So I was playing the game that Buffalo was going to be sleeping on us, and then we were going to be sleeping on the depleted Vegas Golden Knights. And I'm pretty happy that, we got D-Boss back and everything just kind of turned back into like the Red Wings from before Dylan had to take his leave. I mean, is that not the first subject of tonight? By the way, piñata for grownups. Absolute genius.
Thank you, Henry.
Quick shout out. Soap Dish hanging out in the comments before we even got started. I'm sorry I made you wait. Jared, good to have you here. They were both talking about last night's game and the big comeback. Soap Dish, of course, throwing in the easy one here. Cider's a stud. And Jared was glad he wasn't full screen for that opening. Everybody, glad to have you. This is I love doing these post games when it's a win because, number one, it's more fun. Number two, we get way more viewers because I think, Mike, when we used to watch, remember when we used to watch playoff games? Remember Red Wings, Tigers, Pistons? Remember when that used to happen?
I didn't have, all my hair was still like brown back then. Now I got these little gray guys coming in. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I feel like that was the only time I tuned into post games. Like, I didn't want to learn about what we did wrong, like those playoff games. Like, it was, I would sit there and watch the same post game,
yeah,
like three times in a row on the old Fox Sports Detroit. Like, if we were winning and it was a good one, I wanted to see the replays of every goal and listen to Mickey talk and give the same explanation over and over. I think that's what goes on with this. I think that's where the viewership goes up when we win, and it goes all the way down when we lose. So I appreciate y'all. That's what I appreciate about you. Any Letter Kenny fans out there? I just got into that show. But Mike, you were just saying it.
Yeah.
What did the Red Wings get into? They were just laying into the Vegas Golden Knights.
So they were missing easily their best player in Jack Eichel.
We just pulled it up a second ago. This
arguably their whole first line, right? We had no
Mark Stone,
no
Max Pacioretty, William Karlsson. Yeah. That's going to be tough right there to come back from. And I saw the tweets out during the game. Like, if Vegas had a first line, this would be a more competitive game. So
You know what though? The game looked like how it should have been, with the Red Wings having one of the best first lines in the league. going up against a team that was, you know, undermanned, and we totally dominated that second period. Oh my God, what a sizzle reel! If you're gonna, you know, renegotiate your contract, I could say almost every single Red Wing had an excellent second period, outside of like our boy on Hronik. He had a couple of goof ups, but everybody else, man, like the other like 18 skaters, looked really good.
Yeah, we go through the first period. Everything happens on the power play. So that's something that if you guys are looking at Natural Stat Trick with me. Oh, you know what? Why don't I share it? You guys can watch it with me. Take a look at Natural Stat Trick. We can see period by period how this the two teams lined up from an analytics perspective here. So I've got expected goals for, expected goals against lined up. So we're at 33.9% in the first period, but again, most of our damage on the power play, that's not taken into consideration, of course, when we're looking at 5-on-5 analytics. But you're right, Mike. The second and third period were domination from Détroit. And I still can't believe that we did dominate that well, that sure-handedly with those last 5 minutes, because something I just looked up a minute ago, and we have to give the shout out as well. I planned on talking about that Grice was going to end up with a good game, but there were way too many times that it seemed like he was turning around, looking at the back of the net. He thought one went past him. But the last 5 minutes of that game, he went from a 0.9 goals saved above expected. So again, the amount of goals he let in compared to what the expected goals was supposed to be. So that means he let in less. Yeah. It went from 0.9 to 2.26 in just that 5 minute span.
What were the high danger scoring chances in that, like that third period? Cause holy mackerel, they putting the pressure on there. Did that stat make it, or they're still generating those?
That's we've got our attempts right here. So your high danger, your Corsi four attempts, for and against. So the wing. Let me make sure I'm actually looking at this correctly. We are. Yep, we're at the top. We end up with still winning in that third period, but again, those last 5 minutes. That was crunch time. If I ever saw one. I want to give you the second to talk about that, because I thought those chances did look like quote unquote high danger, but I guess a lot of that does just have to deal with, like, they could look really good, but if they're, you know, further away from the net, you really got to get up in there. Like, you got to get within a couple of feet in the net to consider that a high danger chance. I know what I saw, and I thought it looked dirty. And we saw in the analytics, again, Thomas Grice going in the last 5 minutes of that game, going from 0.9 to 2.26.
Yeah, I mean, in those last like 5 minutes, myself watching the broadcast, listening to my buddy Mickey Redman calling the broadcast, it's at that point, you know, we're starting to see a pattern. When Grice has to stand on his head, it's just not English anymore. It's just these guttural caveman sounds. Oh, oh. Because, yeah, there's nothing else you can do but just whatever sound feels right in your heart at the time. So Mickey and I were definitely in lockstep there defending Grice, who, yeah, he did have a few times where we all kind of looked in the back of the net there to see what happened. I think that was that DeKaiser's best play of the game when he skated up and hit a rocketing slap shot into Grice's back to prevent the puck from going in on that scramble with like 3 minutes left. Did you see that?
Oh yeah, I think that's
that was Jared brought about too. Yeah.
I don't know if he rocketed a slap shot, but
I might be exaggerating a little bit. But that was the hardest shot I've seen from DeKaiser this year.
I mean, there were some failings. I would challenge everybody to take a look at that play. I was going to say there were some failings for that puck to get as close as it did, and I wouldn't give DeKaiser a ton of credit before he saved that puck from going in. I would say there was a reason he had the opportunity to be standing right next to the net, not doing anything but be able to tuck the puck in. But so good on him. I'm glad he did it. But here's what I want everybody to go back and watch that. Watch Tyler Bertuzzi. I wish I had a replay of it. I tried to make one. And just try to put the kids to bed and everything and get this set up. It really gets in the way. But here's what I saw, Mike. Yes. DeKaiser tucks the puck. Grice is trying to slide his arm under. Tyler Bertuzzi skates around the back of the net and in the ref's way so that he can't get in there as quickly as possible. I think that is one of the most genius, underrated plays so far this season, because what Tyler's thinking is how bullshit those referee reviews are. They go back and always, you know, oh, the ref was thinking about blowing the whistle, all that shit like that.
Yeah.
He gets in the ref's way to prevent him from getting as quick a look at the puck as he possibly could in case the Red Wings would have an opportunity to save the goal. An opportunity to keep the puck tucked under Grice. I want you all to go back and watch that. You just got to look for the DeKaiser tuck.
Yeah.
And it is right after that, Bertuzzi is blatantly getting in the ref's way so that he can't get a look. And you see the ref try to juke Bertuzzi out of the way. Maybe most underrated play of the night, considering what could have happened if that puck had rolled in.
Is there a cross-sport comparison, Matt? The only thing I can think of is in baseball when the catcher like moves a ball into the strike zone and the ump just kind of takes the catcher's glove for it. I don't know what else you would equate that to, but yeah, that's right. A brilliant play. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just for Tyler, like especially these last couple of games now, He does get the empty netter. And I think if anybody deserves an empty netter for the season so far, for like production wise, Tyler deserves one. Absolutely. Jared's thrown in there. That was a big brain play on Berg.
Love it, Jared. Is this going to make it even harder for Yzerman to trade him for 2 first round picks?
Absolutely. Now look, I do think right now that he's playing himself.
Wait, let me back up that statement. Because his value is sky high right now. If you're ever going to trade him, Yzerman, because you're tired of him not playing in Canada, wow, what a time to do it. But go ahead.
At some point, that's got to start to weigh on him. But I was going to say he's painting himself into this corner where he's really showing the difference that he makes on this team. And at some point, I feel like the team is going to be talking to him, and they've got it. Like, I don't know if it's Dylan's job. I don't know if it's Jeff's job. Like, it is his own personal choice. But I mean, at some point, if this team continues to have games like this, when Dylan Larkin is in the lineup, when we have a full lineup, even without Verana, think about when Verana comes back. Are we going to be talking to Bertuzzi saying, look, man, we're at 500. We could be sniffing a playoff spot. We could jump in there, but we need you.
For all the games.
I think the second to last game is against Toronto. In Toronto. Do we want that to be the decider? And I know we go both ways on this show. We don't really need to make it to the playoffs. But, I mean, if you're in that position, if we're 2 games – like, you know, before the season ends and all we have to do is win to make it in, I'm going to be rooting for us to win. You're like, get the fuck out of here.
I'm not going to be rooting for the 14th best odds to maybe get the third best center in next year's draft. No, thank you.
Oh, by the way, and I want to get to all these comments here in a second. So we'll take a break on our points and we'll get into them.
Yeah.
Corey Pronman from The Athletic.
Yeah.
Not so sure about Shane Wright anymore. His latest rankings. He's bringing Shane Wright back from franchise altering player to just elite. I was very interesting. Very interesting. Okay. So
yeah, let's get those comments in there.
I got to scroll up quite a bit because Tristan asked a comment like super early on, and I thought it was interesting. Going back to the Buffalo game, we did play Rasmus Dahlin. If Buffalo throws Dahlin at some point, are we going to trade for him? I guess what I want to do first is just take a quick look at everything going on with Dahlin while I'm gonna mumble on here as I start to form a point. But I think the easiest point to come to is that I would trust Steve right now to make the right move. So if Dahlin became available and we weren't giving up so much to like have to reset another area of the team, I absolutely think Steve would do it. I mean, this answers one of our issues. This is a left side defenseman. The only thing is, you know, do you see enough from Dahlin right now to get excited about him? Or is it something where you think, you know, a change of scenery, the Robbie Fabry effect, bring him over to a situation that maybe works a little bit better, despite Dahlin being, you know, right now the first pairing for Buffalo. Uh-oh, I lost Mike. despite Dahlin being the first pairing for Buffalo, like, is there something better where he's getting lined up with Mo Sider and he's not going to be in the situation where it's like live or die? Like, Dahlin is right now the best option before, I guess, you know, Owen Power gets involved. But yeah, I think the best point to come to there, Tristan, is just that I would trust Steve to make the right move at this point. I think if there was something there, he's not going to put us in a bad situation. And that's ultimately what all these conversations come to. Are we going to be putting ourselves in a situation that we can't come back from? And, you know, that does create the problem of a heftier cap hit with some of the other moves we've made. Dahlin's sitting at the $6 million right now. And I mean, that might be the long and short of it when it comes to flexibility. Oh, no. So I got Mike back, but I only see a black screen. There he is. Hey, Mike.
Hey, great offer out there. And my whole Wi-Fi just collapsed for no
Jesus.
Reason. Jesus. I know.
Jared, throw it out there. Cat step on your keyboard again. That was my kitty cat. I do have to say, RIP, she did...
Wow. Well, cat steps on the keyboard. That's the end of the cat, huh? Jeez, old Pete, man. Woo! Don't touch the magic over there. Woo!
We were heartbroken. I guess we're still dealing with it. But yeah, it was she jumped on the keyboard like 2 weeks ago. But the reason was that she was sleeping in the office, like cuddled up in the corner. Yeah. Because I don't know if you know this, Mike. And Jared, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Cats try to get out of the way because they don't want to be a burden when they pass. And in their head, they're thinking, I will be in this hole and they'll never have to clean me up, which is like cat psychology. So she's sleeping in my office for the first time in her life. And she decided it was time to go have a snack, jumped right on the keyboard, and there went the live recording. Unfortunately, yep, we did lose our poor little Thay-Thay. Rest in peace, kitty cat. All right, I don't want to talk about it because then I'm gonna get all gurgly and.
Man, at what point this season is DeKaiser going to start sleeping in weird places?
God, you know, I was kind of thinking, and I wonder if anybody else is going to be thinking this. He had his 500th game tonight. I know sometimes coaches, GMs have that in the back of their mind. Let's get them. You know,
let's get him a milestone and then, yeah.
It was right there.
Yeah.
Are we getting him a milestone and then moving on?
Yeah.
I think that there might be some credence to that. But of course, we'll know more as we move along. Gustav Lindstrom made his triumphant return tonight, right? Mike, I'm telling you, first game back, he's actually the leader. An expected goals for per 60 for the Detroit Red Wings. Even
he outdid Sider,
stayed at the top. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
He was right back up there again tonight. He was a part of the first goal, but that was the penalty kill was involved in there. Uh-huh. So I don't get too worked up about a penalty kill giving up a goal. I don't say, you know, wow, that defenseman, he's out of whack. But yeah, the 5-on-5 statistics still falling in line for Gustav. Man, I've been rambling for a while, but I did see Eric Johnson throw in there. He'd jump it down.
Eric, Tristan, it's not like Dahlin is not a great player and it'd be a heck of a get, but would you guys be willing to throw Red Wing first round picks at it? Cause I'm pretty sure that's what it would take. I don't think you could get away with making this trade with, you know, second and third tier Red Wing prospects and second and third rounders. Would you guys be willing to throw first rounders out there? That's my question.
And I think too that, you know, we would have to get back into that conversation about throwing four first round picks away to landing Elias Pettersson, right? And we made the argument, like, it's pretty tough to get an Elias Pettersson. Is Rasmus Dahlin in that conversation where it's impossible to find another Rasmus Dahlin? Right now, I don't know if I've seen enough to say it's impossible to find one. And even in free agency, I think there's a possibility. And even with what we have going with Simon Edmundson right now, being in the leaderboard, as Ice Hockey Gifts has been tweeting out, in the top four for SHL points earners. Well, what the fuck, defenseman?
Yeah. Jesus. Would you say, Matt, that it's not that trading Red Wing first round picks is something you would never want to do, but would you rather reserve them for a centerman? Because that's what I would rather do, because we have, not only is it defense, which I feel like sometimes you can kind of find some borderline, you know, top four guys, right, in trades and sometimes free agency, but finding like a first or second line centerman, that's where I'm willing to invest like more risky capital in terms of like a first rounder.
Yeah, Soap Dish is right there with us with Edmundson. At least I see this as well. Project Edmundson would be projected to have a higher ceiling than Dahlin. So now we're filling out, I think if we all agreed, now we're filling out this defense with potentially losing some first rounders, some potential from our own prospect pool, and just to lock up the second pairing, right? I still think I'd like to go with more flexibility to figure that out than to lose a bunch and spend $6 million. I just, again, if Steve made the move, I'd trust it. I think I'd Darren McCarty that, and I'd be like, hey, it's Steve Yzerman. You just trust him. It's Steve. Shout out to Tristan, who actually went back and watched that episode for context.
Oh, God. I'm now, so
Tristan
sorry,
says,
Tristan.
A 2023 first and Emil Vero. I don't know if Buffalo would take that, right? Have we seen enough from Vero to say that, you know, they're going to feel super confident that they have an NHLer there? And now that we're going a year into...
And Tristan, what's Buffalo going to do with the 32nd pick in the first round?
Right, after we win the cup, that's not a good pick anymore. I think it would have to be juicier than that. Just off the top of my head, I think you could make the argument based off of what they did for Eichel that maybe this is a reasonable ask from Buffalo. Which I do think, you know, you always side with the team that got that gets the superstar. Vegas would get the win, but I also don't think Vegas did give up a lot.
You know what, though?
Can
I say that Tristan brings up an important, but like something I really agree with is that, do you see the Red Wings making a first round pick in 2023? Or is that one of the first ones where they traded for a ready now guy? Because suddenly it feels like this team's only, you know, a couple forwards and one more defensive prospect from, you know, being something. So I definitely see like 2022, that's going to be a Red Wing first rounder. But 2023, I could pretty comfortably say I can see that being moved for a win now guy.
I'm trying to do the math in my head right now. I think that would be something that depends, right? Like we're going to see where that team's sitting at the trade deadline at that point, right? So then they're going to be picking up that guy that can help them win. In which case, I hate it because I think that's when you lose the most with like that value with your draft pick. Feels like you get more value from a draft pick on draft day. And then you lose a lot of value with that draft pick on trade deadline day. So I would just say if that does happen, that is like my least favorite time to trade draft picks is when that happens is during the trade deadline in the middle of the season. But I do have Silver 3344 thrown out there. 2023 is a deep draft. So even that Stanley Cup pick, Mike, pick 32 is going to be a valuable asset coming from Buffalo. Now, Henrik is coming over from Sweden. Edmondson, we'll have Edmondson in a year or two. He's no Dahlin, but he's pretty damn good. Even though I'm a Swede and I like Dahlin, I'd rather throw money at an elite C. So there we go. Henrik coming down to it. Now, Henrik, you've definitely seen in the SHL, I do forget, but the guys who do the period breaks for the SHL compared Edmondson to Nicklas Lidström. So is that does that track in your mind, Henrik? Get your quick thoughts. You could just say a quick no. You could throw in a fuck no if you're like, I don't know what they're talking about. But, I mean, those words get me excited. And of course,
do we have to accuse these guys? Exactly. Do we have to accuse them of hyperbole? Drinking the Kool-Aid? Or do you see something out there, you know, that they're allowed to even make that connection?
Joey, throw it out there. Save him for a first-line center. Soap dish. I think Buffalo would view that as a mid to late first in a mid-level prospect. Gotcha. I got the correction right underneath there. Yeah. Let me pull up some of these. We got a lot of comments, actually. I didn't refresh this here. But I think ultimately it's still one of those things. Like, I don't hate trading for Rasmus Dahlin in any way, because I think that does get closer. Like we just had, I just said within the last 5 minutes, Vegas won the Jack Eichel trade, regardless of who they gave up, because they got the elite guy. Rasmus Dahlin pushes you in that direction, right? I mean, this is a former number one, so I...
Yeah, but I know, but it's a number one defenseman. We would, like, Eisman, this would have to be the fleece job of a lifetime. If he somehow doesn't give up a 2022 first... and makes this trade happen, I make him GM of the century. Like, rename the award for GM of the year, because that would be a bare butt spanking for Buffalo.
Henrik throws in there just real quick. There's only one Lidström. that is a fantastic answer.
Now, did the commentary team say he was the next Lidström or Lindström?
Oh, they could have been talking about Gustav. That's correct.
Yeah, was it the next Gustav? A great penalty killer. That'd be great to have two of those guys.
No, I and all joking aside, I remember the guy like really tiptoeing around the idea. And he's like, I know a lot of people are going to.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, that's exactly how it started. All right. What else happened tonight, Mike? I mean, at some point. Brad coming in. Sorry, this was mentioned earlier, so I'm sorry. Somebody else mentioned this, but I'm going to give Brad credit. Can anyone else see Steve offloading Rasmussen at some point?
I mean, you're getting 50 cents on the dollar. You know, the productivity's not there, where I don't think a move really makes sense. He's got to pad those numbers a little bit in Detroit for Eisman to move him, because there's nothing there.
Jared throws out there he has up until the trade deadline to figure it out. This is one of those things that looks eerily similar to the Nolan Patrick situation, which is now, again, we're talking about another trade to Vegas, another movement of player assets to Vegas. And now Nolan Patrick sits there and he's injured. But it just seems like whatever the initial plan was for Rasmussen, it just keeps getting downgraded until they can find a way to keep him in the lineup, right? Like, now we're looking at fourth line minutes and barely any special teams, and when he's out there it looks like a struggle. And I hate to say it, but you know, we've had mentioned in the comments, you and I have said it, Mike, today, about player development just being off. You know, we were talking about Rasmus Dahlin maybe stepping it up if he moved to Detroit. But the player development, could it be that bad? Or here's the point I was coming to. Rasmussen has all the problems that I remember reading about in his scouting report. And it all starts with the skating. And that appears to still be a problem. So it could be something that works itself out. They find a working strategy for a guy that size, a guy that he's not, you know, he's a professional hockey player. Of course, he skates better than I do. He skates better than everybody in this chat. but he's just not skating well enough to make the difference right now for whatever the strategy or plan is for him. And when I say plan or strategy, I mean, if he's on the first line, he completely drags that first line down, which we saw that opportunity in the last week. Special teams as well. And then, yeah, I guess like where we see him make the least amount of damage is in the bottom six. But I don't know if that's where you keep a former first round talent. Is that what the original plan was, is to limit the amount of damage he does? I don't know. I like the idea of a Mitchell Stevens, another Mitchell Stevens coming into, you know, locking up another role. I mean, think about how good Mitchell Stevens is that he kicked Lucas Raymond, who's a pretty good defensive forward, kicked him right off the ice and went paired with Dylan Larkin and Tyler Bertuzzi to end the game. So, I mean, it's not something where we look at Rasmussen and say, for sure, get him out there last 2 minutes of the game. That's our boy. He's got this on lockdown. It's just, again, I see him playing these bottom 6 minutes because that's where he does the least amount of damage. And I don't know. I think we have a better option.
You mean against
Oviedo right now?
Do you mean against the Red Wings?
Yeah, doing the most. Yeah, the least.
He's doing the least amount of negative
damage against us. Yeah.
Yeah, he's hurting us the least by playing the least amount of minutes out of fourth line. Got it.
And again,
I don't hate him.
I don't hate him.
It's like we're, you know, we talked about it, I think, last week, where, you know, you're going to have multiple games, multiple instances where everybody's going to kind of get moved around, because we know without a doubt that Bertuzzi's definitely going to be missing games. So that means that there's first line minute opportunities, there's power play minute opportunities. Somebody's gonna have to take those spots, and Rass is not doing it yet.
Sam Chowdhury, maybe load him onto a shipping container and let him go wherever the
ship takes him. Sam, I can't that line's hilarious, but I just watched season 2 of The Wire that opens up with people in a shipping container, so I'm a little scared of that one. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, it's The Wire. Get on it, people.
Mike, can you believe it? DraftKings is recognizing our favorite sport. We do a podcast about hockey, and we are finally able to discuss the fact that they're an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Let's go, right?
That's what I'm ready to say. Matt, I've had enough talking about the other sports. Stuff for a big boy sport. The NHL! That's National Hockey League. That season is underway. DraftKings Sportsbook, an unofficial sports betting partner of the National Hockey League, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice, nay, the greatest sport on earth. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper, or a slapper, maybe, or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win.
If some nasty sauce? All right, go
what on. If it's an empty netter? Still counts on the stat sheet, my man. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I went furniture shopping today, and I had multiple people explain to me that there's a bunch of furniture stuck on shipping containers. Some are out to sea, some are just sitting in ports. So furniture is more expensive, and it's like, all right, we're leaving. Thanks. I asked you, do you have a gray glider in this building? And that's the answer. So it's like, all right, peace out, dude. Don't go buy furniture right now, everybody. It's not going
to
work out.
Don't try to get your siding done either. Ordered that back in June, and it's November, and we still don't have an installation date.
Ooh. So I actually, my siding has been falling off the side of my house, so I've been collecting it. I just need to get a siding guy to come over and put it in, so I'm glad I saved it. I was this close to throwing it away to clear out my garage today.
There's no product. Nobody's doing any work. So, yeah, good luck with that.
So I do want to throw this in there, Michigan UP. All I want to see is Valeno, Zadina, and Verana second line. I think this is a great transition, Mike, into who I think had his best game of the season.
Well, I know who you're going to say. Ready, Matt? I got a couple laser guns right here for you, buddy. Pews was rocking and rolling tonight, man. He did really well.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think this is one of the things that as I did my you know, I've been putting together those pre-games and stuff for each one of these hockey games, except for this weekend. I just couldn't find the time to do it. But watch Puce laser beam one of these. This was a beautiful goal. good awareness too, like good positioning. Kept his stick on the ice to make sure that this rebound goes right at the net, which Puce scores this goal. The rest of the night, Mike, Puce is just throwing the puck at the net, and I absolutely loved it. And this was easily his best game of the season in my eyes.
It looked like the switch flipped. Mickey mentioned it a couple times too. Like, man, was it just the last game he got that? It a goal and an assist? And it's just it looks like the switch flipped. It looks like he's got his confidence going, like he had last year, especially in that hat trick against us. Try not to mention that every time. He finally looks comfortable. And like you said, he's just peppering shots in there. He's just like, yeah, this feels good, baby. Feed me that puck.
The confidence seemed to be there. I think it is something too that Puce has played better at home as well. I think he does feed off that energy from the crowd. But I was thinking about this, during mid game, asking people on Twitter. So of course I want to get your guys' opinion now. I guess I'm going to give you my opinion and then you guys can tell me what you think.
We'll correct your opinion.
Yeah, let me know.
Go ahead. Yeah, we'll correct you. Go ahead.
I mean, this is if Puce gets locked in, if this is the new Puce suitor, I mean, we're talking about a first line that I could show you guys some stats. Like, this is clearly the best first line in the NHL so far this season of when Dylan Larkin is in, Tyler Bertuzzi and Lucas Raymond, when they're playing together, it analytically, we could talk about the eyeball test, but the analytics test true. It is the best first line in the NHL right now from an offensive production standpoint.
Statistically, isn't it exceeding Marchand and the boys?
Absolutely it is. They aren't even, they're not even near the top of the list. But to continue this thought of Puce Suter, if this is Puce for the rest of the season, which, the chances that he plays this well for the every game here on out, it's slim. But if we get 75% of what we got tonight from Puce for the rest of the season, you immediately have two tough decisions for any coach, for anybody who's going out next, especially when we're in Little Caesars Arena and we get that change. This is that team that we were talking about before the season started. We need Puce Suter to be who Puce was tonight for this to be an actual competitive, potential, like, playoff-sniffing team. Am I right or am I not? Am I overthinking this? Is it just me putting too many variables on it? Do I have enough asterisks? I keep saying Puce has to play this well. I'm not saying he will. I've got a lot of barriers up, Mike. I've been hurt a lot by these Red Wings players. I've got a 6-foot pull up between me and Puce right now to make sure he can't hurt me. But
he's a good player, right? But you just want to be careful. You don't want to be accused of being the Swedish commentary team with the hyperbole. Because another great comment by Mickey tonight that I just wanted to be on the coattails of is he talked about, man, what a world of difference it makes when Larkin, Bertuzzi, and Raymond are playing with each other. Because it's not just that you have, an excellent, productive, defensive team lineup out there. It means you can, set up the matchups exactly like how you want. So Pews tonight, you know, maybe he wasn't exactly going up against, you know, Vegas's quote unquote number two line. If he's out there against, you know, their number three line, that, you know, because he had to kind of basically knock everybody down, move everybody up a pecking order with all the injuries, you know, he is a very good, I guess we'll call him third line center. It's just when the second line, if it's an excellent team with a really, really good second line, maybe that's where he kind of gets lost a little bit. So I don't want to go too crazy. But at least we're seeing the confidence out of him. And I think we're one more centerman away.
I gotta throw out a quick apology. I just realized I shared that same replay for about 5 minutes. So right along the lines of Mike, your least favorite thing about hockey.
That replay was yelling at us, man. You all caps us on AOL Instant Messenger with that one.
I apologize. Now, performance art makes the best point. It's Dylan Larkin. When he's in there, that's where the matchup issues start.
I would say it's matchup and then emotionally. Like, Bertuzzi looks like our most talented player. And, you know, scoring-wise, if he's not out there, it's really tough to score. But that emotional leader, there's zero doubt that it's Larkin. Everybody looks better when he's out there. Everybody.
I want to have some fun here because I know Bertuzzi shot 67% yesterday. What did he shoot tonight? Because I know we're including an empty net goal, so I get to cheat a little bit here. but it's one of those things. I think if we, you know, how often would this actually happen? But if he shoots like above 60%, we're undefeated. All right. Mike, he shot 100% tonight. Woo!
Well, it sure felt like it.
That streak's alive. When he shoots above 60%, the Detroit Red Wings are undefeated. All right. Oh, wait, no, that can't be right. We lost the first fucking game. All right. We have a point streak.
Starting after the first game.
Yeah. Starting now. No, that's still a point streak because we got a point out of that Tampa game. Brad, top line is pure chemistry. Take Larkin and Bird out. It takes the life out of the team. Absolutely. That's a great point, Mike. You know, kind of going along the same lines of what you were saying. Soap Dish, Dylan is the most important player. And Mike, while we were chit-chatting, Dylan Larkin took, podium. And did make the announcement here. What was going on, why he was missing time. Brad's got it. Dylan said his family needed him. He did say, so Brad was watching this, seemed a bit emotional in the post game, asked folks to respect his family's privacy. We've been pretty adamant, Mike, since this started that, you know, this is Dylan Larkin's thing. We were just,
we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt and whatever. Yeah.
And, but the, you know,
not
we're
going to
be bummed. We're going to be bummed that he's not playing for us. Of course we are. We're Red Wings fans. But absolutely, like if Dylan needs more time, I always say, take your time, be with your family. You got to lean in that direction, especially for the boys that we love like this. All right. We got Soap Dish. Dylan, most important player on the team. Tristan Bertuzzi is second in the league behind Draisaitl. Is that in shot percentage? Oh, for goals. Okay. The comments are coming in slow. Oh, sorry about that, Tristan.
Like, what is Draisaitl's shooting percentage? Is it 98? My God. How did he get 101%?
For tonight, he'd have to be 101%.
Wow. He got two goals on one shot. It's incredible.
Performance art. When Verona gets back, we're in the first round of the playoffs. I'll take my cider jersey in white. Woo-hoo! Thanks, guys. I did promise performance art a Moritz cider jersey, to which my wife caught wind of that. She said, you can use your money to pay for that.
And you said, you know what, honey? I can use my allowance however I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, honey, I didn't tell you to be a doctor. $125 because this one's embroidered.
Yeah, performance art. He said he needed the, you know, he wants the official game-worn Moritz Seider jersey.
Oh, God. He wants game sweat in that jersey. Woo!
Well, who doesn't want a Moritz Seider game sweat jersey? Huh? Can we start... Can we start referring to game worn jerseys?
Hashtag game sweat. Hashtag game sweat. Game sweat jerseys.
Jesus Christ. All right. I think we've got some
mentions here. Matt, it's a holiday must have. No? Okay. Sorry.
I'm fine with it.
All right.
All right. So we did have something that we kind of glossed over a little bit. Red Wings, arguably, best first line in the league right now. Mike, this is your top 10. This is before tonight where they all turned in fantastic games. Lucas Raymond, Mike, just so you know, was at a 6.9 for tonight. So this number is going to go up. But this is expected goals for per 60. So the way you want to think about this is that, you know, these guys are playing close to, you know, just under 20 minutes a night, right? So you divide this by three. Like, their expected goals for per 60 is saying that when this line is out there, they're at least bringing a goal per night, which is crazy. Wow. And there isn't another line on this list for a while to fill out. Now, there's some asterisks that have to be thrown in there because this is goals expected goals for per 60. So a guy like Nolan Patrick is number 9 on this list. We already talked about how he's injured. He's not getting first line minutes. But when he's out there, he's at least him and his line are throwing the puck at the net. It's just not the most, how do I want to put this? It's sometimes rare to see an entire line at the top of this list and jumbled up like this, like it is. So this is quite incredible right now. And we know that this first line, the whole Red Wings team lives and dies with this first line performing well, but this is it. Like, this at least tells you, like, at the start of the season, Mike, I did an entire episode devoted to the fact that this first line is a top 5 first line in the league. And that was with Verana in there. I don't know if we want to get into a conversation about how Dylan Larkin and Tyler Bertuzzi are the common denominators in that equation, or if we want to talk about how amazing Lucas Raymond is, or if we just want to just bow down to this statistic and just say, holy fuckballs, like, this is incredible for the Detroit Red Wings right now. And, I mean, you know, we talked earlier about trade value for Bertuzzi, but, I mean, the chemistry's there now, right? This would be the third season where and a lot of the talk that I had at the beginning of the season where the first line was going to be one of the best in the league was based off of Tyler Bertuzzi and Dylan Larkin playing together 2 seasons ago. Because, of course, Tyler only had the 9 games last season. So we're talking about a span of 3 seasons where Larkin and Bertuzzi clearly play fantastic together. And that right winger being Lucas Raymond makes this line that much better, that much more consistent, I think, just from the sheer talent of this guy being able to rip it at any moment. I don't know. I don't know if you guys got a chance to check this out.
I just think that, like, sometimes with statistics like this, right, you do have to kind of take it with, you know, a little bit of context to kind of, you know, dig a little bit deeper, like, how is, you know, Nolan Patrick on there on that same list? But this doesn't feel like one of those statistics where it's like, you know, you go to a Tigers baseball game and they're like, you know, on Thursday nights, whenever the month ends in an ARY and the catcher is leading off to start a 4th inning, the Tigers are guaranteed to hit 230 in that inning. You're like,
ARY. Wait a minute.
Like January. Yeah, it's all you got. They'll have these.
That's winter ball.
You know, obscure. Yeah, winter
what's
ball.
Up in Arizona.
Yeah, we're guaranteeing a 230 hit in winter ball. But I just mean, it's always like some obscure stat, right? This feels like the opposite of that. This feels like fans in Detroit are eyeball testing this incredible threesome and being like, man, this is otherworldly, right? Like, these guys are so efficient. Like, they're excellent at scoring. They're excellent at defending. It feels like they're winning their matchup most nights when they're out on the ice. Is there something more to this? Or are these just, you know, some hometown bias feelings? And it feels like we kind of have something to kind of, you know, support what our eyeballs are telling us.
Yeah, I think it would be a lot. It would be so different if I went into this season and wasn't basing the idea that this would be a top 5 first line, if I wasn't basing that off of analytics from the previous 3 seasons. So we at least had a track record to say that there was a trend moving this first line in that direction. And again, me saying that first line was going to be Verana, not Lucas Raymond, but, and again, nobody really was looking at Lucas Raymond going, for sure. No, this guy's over a point a game. Yep, no problem. Power play killer. He's going to light up the power play. No problem. Matt, real quick,
can I say something controversial?
Yeah.
When Verona comes back, are the Red Wings going to do the Red Wing thing and send Lucas Raymond back down to Grand Rapids?
No.
You know, we want to make sure he gets 25 minutes a night. So we want to ease him in.
He's past the 10-game thing. If they send him down to Grand Rapids, Steve already said that he wants anybody in Grand Rapids that's at the the Raymond, Valeno, Berggren level. Like, they have to be getting, like, legitimate minutes. They have to be in a position to learn and score, so he's not like getting less minutes if he goes down there. But yeah, he's past the 10-game thing. It's done. Lucas is a Red Wing. Mike, he's going to be going for the Calder Trophy this year. I think that's something to market these players. They need to sell season tickets next year, Mike. You seen that arena?
We've been conditioned.
It's empty.
Man. We've been conditioned. We don't want to rush Lucas. You know, we're going to give him maybe 2-3 more seasons in Grand Rapids, and then eventually, maybe, we'll give him a preseason tryout. I don't know.
That's how Blash works.
Thank you, Joey. Joey gets it.
Soap dish. Raymond will never play in the AHL. Absolutely. Mike, that is one of the... Wow, there's a family of ladybugs in my office right now. Jesus, that's kind of weird.
I think they're all stuck in the same spider web, Matt.
No, they're all crawling
Do
around.
Do some dusting up there. Yeah. Jeez,
my office is disgusting.
Yeah, we know, man.
There's dead cats. There's ladybugs. Sorry, where were we?
Cobwebs.
I'm sorry. This is where we lose viewers.
No, but listen.
Yeah, there's no way. Yeah.
If Raymond heads
down to, like I will lose any good thought I've had about, you know, any positive argument I've made about Jeff, and where I've said, you know, the difference between all these mediocre coaches is razor thin. You have your greatest coaches of all time. You have, you know, stinker coaches, Jeff somewhere in the middle, and all those coaches are kind of just like jumbled together. They all just turn out the same shit night after night, and it's all based off talent. But if Lucas gets sent down to the AHL by some decision of Jeff and Steve's combined, everything I've said goes out the window. They're both like, I would have zero trust in them going forward. I just wouldn't know what was going on. But I also can tell you, Mike, I have 100% confidence that will not, I won't even have to worry.
So we're also not a Kyle Quincy trade away from sending Mo to the minors.
Just, I'm going to delete that's it from this.
All right. Matt's about to mute me. He's had enough of my shenanigans. All right. We can get away with these jokes finally, because it feels like, you know, these guys are awesome. Like, it feels like two top level prospects living up to the billing. It's great.
It's not even just like, these guys they're not like hurting the team. Like, this team is only successful right now. We're only at the point we're at right now because these two guys are on the team. The reason that I'm going to owe performance art a fucking cider jersey at the end of the year is because of both of these guys are that damn good. It's just, I mean, I know you said you were joking, but
we can have fun when we win, by the way. This is nice.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. That would be it for me. Like, the management team, the coaching, like, I would just be done. That would be it for me. I would be so done. And
Not happening. We're not saying that it's going to happen. We're just kidding.
Now, we were bringing up, we could bring up the Raymond goal again here, because we're going to talk about him for another couple seconds here. By the way, can I talk about this power play goal for a sec while I bring this up?
Yeah.
Because I want to bring up Joey's point that Lafreniere only has 4 points to Raymond's 6 goals so far. and also Raymond's 14 points. Now, you can see the pass from Bertuzzi over to Raymond. If you guys go over to @BODHockey, I don't have that queued up, and this video is much cleaner than what I have going on @BODHockey, because it's just me filming my television that I pause and I rewind. But right
with the express written consent of the National Hockey League, of course.
Well, I got my wife's permission to film our television.
Oh, well.
While the kids talk in the background. Okay. Let me throw this out there, though. The power play was actually designed to set up this play because right before Lucas puts this goal in, you can see Lucas actually controlling the puck there. He throws it over to Seider. The puck eventually bounces all the way around back to Lucas for the goal.
Yeah.
Literally right before Lucas passed it back to Seider, they were controlling the puck again after Bertuzzi tried to do that exact play. So what we're doing, Mike, is we have, and I'm just saying it because this is what the Capitals have been doing for however many years.
Oh my God, Matt, what comparison
fucking
are you about
Alexander
to make?
Ovechkin oh, here we on go. That power play.
Here we go.
But they already know that he's the guy. Like, set him up in the fucking circle to rip one for a goal.
I mean, how many nice. Years like, have we been watching Ovechkin? Next year, we're going to have Ovechkin and Lidstrom on the same team. It's going to be pretty exciting. Woo, man, we are drinking the hyperbole Kool-Aid tonight, let me tell you.
It's,
but yeah,
you know
he did make a great play.
We made the point at the beginning of the episode. I mean, this is – people hit the panic button and we're like, this is it. This team is back to where we were in 2019. But it was a game without Dylan Larkin and Tyler Bertuzzi.
Those don't count. Those aren't real games. Yeah.
Look at how bad Vegas looks without their first line. Of course it's going to be rough without your first line. And a team that's already struggling to find a full 12 forwards and 6 defensemen. Yes, tough. And I would argue without Gustav Lidstrom as well, who brings, from an analytics perspective, quite a bit of offense for us. So all that combined, yes, of course we weren't going to score. But they're back. Gustav was back. Mike, we didn't even talk about Gustav being back. I've laid into him. Well, you know what I mean? That's a terrible choice of words. But I've been excited for Gustav all season, and now they're back. Dylan was back.
Tonight was a major love fest.
Back from his Canada break.
Tonight was a major love fest. Matt, what's on the dock for the schedule? Because I know this Thursday I'm going to be taking a little trip to Little Caesars, catch me some Capitals. I'm going to see this year's Ovechkin.
Oh, shit. You're going on Thursday?
Yeah, I'm going to see number 23 Red Wing Raymond Ovechkin going up against Capitals Ovechkin. I'm pretty excited.
I'm going on Saturday.
Yeah, I told your wife to pick that game. You're welcome.
We almost went tonight, which would have been pretty cool to see the Dylan Larkin return. But, Mike, yeah. I mean, we have – all right, so clearly if anybody is interested in Red Wings hockey, the big reason you're excited about Thursday's game, Mike's going to be there. Saturday's game, you're going to be excited because I'm going to be there. But, Mike, on Tuesday, you're going to be excited because Connor McDavid is making a trip to Little Caesars Arena.
Woo-wee.
I looked over at my wife and like, do you remember at the start of the season, Jeff Blashill said Lucas Raymond makes the team if my wife can tell, like if she can see the difference that he's making. And it was a little, you know,
it's a little 1950s of you, a little 1950s.
He quickly corrected himself and said she loves hockey. But that was also like,
oh, I take my wife, but not my car, you know? Like, what? What are you talking about, man? What century are we in?
Now, my wife hates hockey, but I pointed to the TV, and even she saw Connor McDavid versus Lucas Raymond on Tuesday, and she went, oh. So, and that's a struggle. She hates almost all sports. So,
that is D&D night, but you know what I'm gonna do? We play remote, so I'm gonna be propping up the old cell phone and playing the game while I got my D&D sesh going. So where are my D&D boys at? Come on, Tristan, my man.
Woo! Goddamn D&D. I do miss D&D. It's been quite a while. All right, we had some Connor conversation here.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Uncle Mo going up against Connor. It's going to be great.
Connor gets shootout bias on Tuesday. I think what you're saying, Soap Dish, is that this could be high scoring, but there's no way we can keep up with Edmonton, who I think is, what are they, 9-1 right now?
They're a buzzsaw right now. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Connor's going for like 200 points this year.
Jesus Christ.
It's insane. Yeah. And to think that, you know, I mean, Dreisaitl, I think he has 23 points and Connor has 22, but we know what's going on there. Come on. It's Connor. Come on. Come on, you guys. All right. 9-1, Edmonton. What did we say next was Washington, who we already beat, but maybe they're a little sore after we beat them in overtime. 11 games, 14 points for Washington. Their points percentage is 636. And then I will be watching the Red Wings try and redeem themselves against the Montreal Canadiens. I really hope that's how the Wings see it. If Larkin is there, how much fun is it going to be when Bertuzzi gets a hat trick Saturday against the Canadiens? I don't know if I'm going to be out of my jeans and going to need to bring an extra pair. I'm not sure what liquid it'll be. We'll put it that way. Is it going to be one that's sticky, or am I going to be covered in something yellow and hot out of anger? Am I going to be pissing myself in anger because Tyler is like a Montreal Canadiens killer and we only get to see him at home?
Listen,
that joke is too messy and gross.
I want to put it to the people, man.
Yeah.
Because these past three games, Tristan opened the show with the loss, win-win. I was extremely confident about those three outcomes. Loss, win-win. This week, I have no idea. Matt, this is going to be the Buzzsaw Oilers. This is going to be the Capitals wanting revenge. And this is going to be Montreal, who has steamrolled us twice. So I don't know where these games are going to go at all. But I will say, if we're going to keep jumping aboard the hyperbole train, this is the epitome of hyperbole. If the Red Wings get, my God, like 4 or 5 points out of these three games, then we're talking playoffs. There, I'm putting it down. Because these are three really difficult games, even though they are at home. These are tough games.
Yeah, and even, you know, anybody that would laugh at the Montreal being a difficult game, that team's in your head. Yep. That is so much more difficult to deal with than having Connor McDavid come in, because you're going to be stepping up. Sider's going to be looking at that. Sider's going to be looking at Draisaitl going, I'm going to knock that fucker down. I am going to be leading Team Germany come February. That's my team. Like, that's what I picture going down. I don't know. Maybe that's too much. I said fucker, and I feel really bashful right now after saying it out loud.
Are you guys not going to be glued to these three games, though? Because this is a real test for the Red Wings.
Eric's got the best point with the power play for Edmonton being at 50%.
Yeah, but they ain't seen Gustav. Penalty
kill is clearly our biggest weakness. Jared's got us loss, OT loss, and a win. Oh, I do have to mention, Tristan's got D&D cousin, so that's his his connection. Soap Dish is looking for a D&D group, Mike, so you've got, if you need a fill-in.
Red Wings Red D&D group.
Ashton Hathaway, D&D, woo!
My man Ashton.
All right, you're right, Mike. You were right to bring up Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah. I apologize, everybody.
My current character is a turtle named Pancake Galapagos. So, yeah, pretty proud of that name.
Four straight wins.
My dude.
He's got his cider jersey coming, Mike. You're saying that if we're at four straight wins, I might as well just order the cider jersey for performance art at that point. Is that correct?
If we defeat the Buzzsaw and we beat and win a revenge game and we like nut up and just destroy Montreal, this is a playoff team. That's all there is to it.
Can I point out, Joey says, just don't get penalties against Edmonton. I don't think we got a penalty. We didn't get a power play against Buffalo until the third period. Is that right? I feel like, you know, that's still a legit strategy. You just got to make sure, you know, Tuzi's not throwing two-handers right in front of the ref.
So are we
idiot?
Is Giovanni Smith going to be a healthy scratch? Is Giovanni going to be a healthy scratch?
Sure.
The human penalty machine? No, he's not. That guy does.
He's not that bad. Yeah, you're probably right. No Giovanni Smith. No, because I don't know.
I love him. Like, he's out there defending our guys, but I'm like, oh man, we're going in the box. Damn it. All right, get out there, Gustav. So.
All right, Performance Art says he doesn't need a jersey anymore. He just wants playoff hockey. I'm a man of my word, though. So where were we? We had Jared loss, OT loss, and a win. Brad, loss, OT win, and a win. Soap Dish, win, loss, win.
Hey, wait a minute. Man. I'm going to the loss? Come on, Soap Dish. No.
I've got those drink rail seats for the Canadians game. I'll tweet out the area, man. Then you guys can come over and visit if anybody else is at the game.
Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm flying high tonight, man. I got almost a half of an ounce of Malibu coconut liqueur coursing through my veins. You want to hear a prediction?
Soap Dish, he is sorry. Go for it, Mike.
Win, win.
All right, you're right there with the performance art.
I'm sorry.
Joey's got OT loss, win. Okay. Here's the thing.
Is Matt going loss? You know, Red Wings ran, run by Michael in wet blanket. Get over there. We just pulled you out from under an anvil. Wet blanket, what do you got for us?
It's not going to be that bad.
We are going to get 2 points. Loss. Overtime loss.
OT losses against the Capitals. No. I really do think Edmonton is on a mission this year. So, I think it's going to look good for 2 periods, but Edmonton's going to win.
Uncle Mo is taking Connor. Downtown, baby. Woo! I can't wait for that game.
Now, Washington is a different story. They're going to be without Mantha for a while. So they're a little handicapped right now. So I'm going to say we are going to take Washington. And I do think a Tyler Bertuzzi, Dylan Larkin, Lucas Raymond full lineup against Montreal is going to look ugly in our favor. And I think we're going to kick the shit out of Montreal next Saturday. I already mentioned it to my wife who got this is my birthday present. And I was like, you may have picked the absolute perfect game for us to watch like an absolute crusher. I think they're going to play that game the way I thought they were going to play the last game in Montreal.
Yeah.
But of course, then we found out Dylan was out.
Your wife to tell her that. Money.
Should I go get her right now?
Money. Next week, we're really going to kick the shit out of him. What? Yeah, it's like 2 a.m. I was going through the stats, and I think with our full complement of our first line, they won't be able to stop us, honey.
Soap Dish is going to donate something real quick to Performance Art if we make the playoffs. Davis Schiller. Davis, welcome to the show.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
He's fucking over my weekend with a couple of
wins. So he's got us taking down the buzzsaw. He's got me watching a victory for my lady's dad. He's going to be there for his birthday. And then, Matt, you ruined the weekend. Bad luck. You should probably give those tickets away.
All right, so I think it's about time we wrap up. I don't know if I had anything else I wanted to mention. We haven't even talked about the rookie scoring right now. I think everybody's well aware, though. Anybody listening to the show would probably know. Oh, Silver Scott, there's his loss, win, OT loss. You guys saying that Montreal is going to have Detroit's number this year. You guys are absolutely crazy. We're going to fucking lunch Montreal next weekend. It's going to be.
Listen, I went a little heavy, but what's our equation been? If they're at home, they win about half of them if everybody's healthy. So I went bananas. I picked all of them to be wins. But
you're right. If we come out of this week with
if it's win, 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 then we're having a wild discussion and a party next week.
And this is a really fun week of hockey, though. I think if anybody's a Red Wings fan, this is one of those weeks that you've probably had checked off. Make sure you don't miss anything from it. All right. So upcoming content this week. I promise, Tristan. I've got everything recorded for the Mitchell Stevens thing, but I also mentioned the last episode. I have about 90 minutes of Mitchell Stevens, and I'm cutting it down to like 10, so it's going to take a while. So that'll probably be out on Wednesday. We're also trying to line up a guest for this week, maybe next week, and then Yeah, and then we'll be going live. We'll be going live after the games. Well, I guess no, we can't, because I'll be at the Canadiens game and Mike will be at the Capitals game. So we'll just see you guys on Wednesday and then Sunday, because we can't fucking go live at the arena. So that sucks. But we'll be back on schedule the week after that. Matt did land a brand new job. I'm a little afraid to say. I shouldn't say what it is on the podcast, right? Because I don't want to get fired.
Yeah, don't do that.
It's a legit job with a pretty, you know, one of the top 10 companies in the world right now. So they made me sign a document that said, I understand that at any moment they can ask me to either stop the podcast or I'm fired. It's that kind of company. Yeah. I signed that document this week, so I'm shaking in my boots. Hopefully they're not listening right now going, it's a bad start.
Check. Hopefully they like, subscribe, and share the show.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would get us a lot of reviewers quickly.
Boy, our numbers are about to rocket, let me tell you.
All right. On that note. All right. So let me say, yeah, the rookie numbers were doing pretty good. Lucas, 14. Whoa, 10 points. Bowen Byram, 8 points.
Do you think anyone done. Heard that part, Matt?
No. All right.
We'll bring it there up we on go. Wednesday. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Have a good one.